Welcome, one and all, to our monthly action call for January 2016. I'm Dan Kahn. I'm National Field Director for the Peace Alliance. I'd like to especially welcome any Student Peace Alliance folks who are on the call and who may be on our monthly action call for the first time. So welcome to you especially. On our agenda for the next hour, I'll introduce our president, Bob Baskin, who will introduce our special guest, Molly Rowan Leach, who I see has joined us. Welcome, Molly. And then our special guest, Molly, will share, and we'll have a chance for discussion with her. And after that, we'll have a few announcements. We'll look at achievements from last year and goals for this year, and then we'll have some coaching on the January monthly action. And the January monthly action is a letter to the editor of your local paper advocating for the Youth Promise Act and possibly referencing Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy. So that's our agenda. I want to remind you that when you listen to our special guest, Molly, tonight, I hope you'll be listening for that piece of inspiration, those little bits of information that fire you up a little bit, that might help you to generate some powerful action, possibly taking the January monthly action. We'll be looking together at the January action sheet in about 30 minutes, so please have that available. If you don't yet have it, you can download it from the monthly action page on our website. So peacealliance.org, there's a monthly action red ribbon on the right, and that's where you can find that action sheet. You may also want to have a newspaper handy, either online or a hard copy, for some training that we're going to have on taking that action. Okay? That's all from me for now. Now it's my pleasure to introduce one of the hardest working men in peace business and one who is also a steadfast advocate of joyfulness in our work, our president, Bob Baskin. Let me unmute him. There you go, Bob.
Thank you, Dan, and actually thank all of you who have joined us tonight on this call. We really do appreciate it, and we really know how important it is to the role of peace building to have as many of you involved as is possible. Listen, yesterday, as I'm sure you all know, we celebrated the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, and that day in particular is very important to me because its message actually inspires me to help bring about the kind of society of which Dr. King really did dream, a society where people resolve differences of opinion with great compassion and honest listening, where no one is treated harshly or unjustly, and especially not based on the color of their skin, their religious beliefs, their country of origin, or the amount of money in their pockets. Fair to say that this dream of Dr. King's is truly one that we at the Peace Alliance do share, and we are privileged to be building the cornerstones of that dream along with each of you and many others on this call and throughout our network of some 60,000 strong who believe that there is a better way. Our special guest tonight is Molly Rowan Leach, as Dan indicated, and she is our valued partner in this work. And I will introduce her in just a minute. And I believe that, as Dan perhaps indicated, she'll tell you all about a very exciting new initiative on teaching peace in schools, one of our cornerstones that you will recall from our Be the Movement, Take a Step for Peace. But before I do, let me remind Molly a little bit about the folks who are dialed in on this call. Molly, the people on this call as a whole are people who are walking their talk. They're not just talking it for a more peaceful world. These are people like Ann Abdu of Livonia, Michigan, who has not only corresponded and met with staff members of her two senators and her House member to promote the tools of peace building, and has, in addition, not only had several essays on reducing youth incarceration published in both a local newspaper and a college newsletter, but she has also sought out and found a Detroit area neighborhood organization that promotes restorative and other conflict transformation processes and has been helping to empower them to make their voices heard at both the local as well as the federal levels. So you can see why we feel so privileged to work with folks like Ann. We're really connecting the dots of media and Congress and community to help bring Dr. King's dream alive. Now let me tell you a little bit about our special guest, you being all of you good volunteers who are listening tonight, about our special guest. Back in 2011, I think it was, Molly created a very important resource for the world. It's called Restorative Justice on the Rise. As her website states, Restorative Justice on the Rise is the leading live public dialogue forum focusing on justice transformation in the U.S. and beyond, and provides real-time conversation with national and global leaders in the field, providing key tools, education, and awareness building as the movement of restorative justice and restorative practices continues to build exponential momentum. So RJ on the Rise is really a global conversation that happens every single week, the kind of conversation that empowers and catalyzes action, and it's a conversation about the evolution of justice. Molly, as well as being the creator and producer and host of this series, is also the Peace Alliance's Restorative Justice Fellow and has been a key co-creator of the upcoming summit and series on teaching peace in schools, creating restorative communities, which I believe she will tell you a lot more about this evening. So without further ado, I am pleased to introduce to you, you wonderful peacemakers, Molly Rowan Leach. Molly?
Oh, Bob, thank you so much. I really appreciate that beautiful introduction, and certainly I'm here because of all of you here and because of all of the people that we collaborate with. And so just thank you all. We have a huge group gathered here tonight, and so not enough time to say thanks to each of you, but it's very true what Bob said in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, of how we weave that beloved community. The ways in which we weave it are exemplified in the work that we do truly together on the ground, in honoring each other's stories, in listening deeply, in learning how to communicate nonviolently and truly allow a space of safety to be created for us to speak our truth and also to be heard. That, in part, is what I'd like to share with you tonight, if I might, about a couple of things. I was asked to share a little bit about further about Restorative Justice on the Rise and the resources that we have, because it's an open space website and dialogue series that a lot of people don't realize just how much there is there as far as interactive materials and ways to get plugged in and connect with one another. And then, like Bob said, I will share a bit about this upcoming summit on February 1st and 3rd and the online course, too. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek of sorts into some of the information on our registration page for that course. And so I'd just like to start, though, back at that point of beloved community and share with you that Restorative Justice on the Rise was a call and response of sorts. It was a response created out of an understanding of our need for dialogue and for hearing stories and for connecting with one another with tools and with practical experiences, what we're witnessing out there, what's real, what's really happening in this troubled society that we've been experiencing and living in, and going out into the trenches and noticing all the many things that come at us every day. In my own experience, I had a mother who was in prison for 15 years in a prison in Idaho, and I got a firsthand glimpse from 1999 until just about a year and a half ago when she was released of really the stultifying damage that can be created above and beyond the wound itself, the crime itself, when there are no avenues for dialogue. Of safe dialogue, of course. Dialogue that honors victims. Ways and means of providing people the ability to express what they need to express in order to move forward and to do it in their own time. And so out of that, Restorative Justice on the Rise was my way of creating a space for people to come forward and share about their leading edge of what they're doing in their communities, people who have come in from all over the world to share about how things are working in their communities, some people with name recognition and others with little, but both equally important. And so the spirit of the series is community owned and it's open space. And if you are at a computer right now, if you are interested in joining me, if you could go to the website restorativejusticeontherise.org, that's all one word, restorativejusticeontherise.org. And I'd just like to point out a couple things to you about the site. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold. My son does too. Just to let you know how you might plug in further. Many of you I recognize as being a part of this beloved community already, even in participating over there at the dialogue series. However, if you would like to, you can, and if you have an organization that you would like to post, if you're on the landing page now, please scroll down all the way to the clickable map, which is at this point simply a map of the United States, and we hope to expand that to reflect our global community. Technology at times is a little difficult in keeping up with that, but as it stands right now, we're building this resource for all of us to help people locate each other and to know what's happening state by state. So if you have something you would like to post, if you're an individual practitioner, if you're an academic organization, political advocacy, what have you, if you would like to post it, it's free, it's open source, and it's a resource for all of us. You'll also notice that there's a little box that says want to add your organization or resource, and that's where you simply log in your information and hit submit. Now, if you go back up the page to latest podcasts, you will see some of the latest recordings of our wonderful guest speakers. This is a community forum, so it's not just someone speaking to an audience. It's mutual participation as much as we can do that in the spirit of circle processes. So you'll see that in the latest podcast area, there are some shorter segments of gems from Kay Prannis and Carolyn Boyce Watson, who are going to be with us for the upcoming Teaching Peace in Schools course. And the idea is to provide a 5-minute or under audio that is providing an answer to some of the deeper questions that seem to be popping up collectively. And so, for example, here's one. If you click on one of the ones of Kay and Carolyn's, the title says, it's kind of long, but it says, adding a restorative element to schools and how it adds value instead of being seen as taking away from time available to teach. Now, that is one of the biggies. If you're an educator, you know this. You're already overloaded. You already feel probably underappreciated. And your work schedule is much beyond the school year and into the summer. So how in the world would you be able to implement a restorative element to your classroom? Well, these 5-minute and under audios are meant to help provide a sense of response to perceived needs in our communities. So you can go to the archives. You can go to our library. We have a resource hub that has legislative progress and laws, a section there. There's also FAQs about restorative justice, articles in press, film and multimedia, and it's always building on itself. So come back and visit there. Now, I want to go on to the class and stay under my time here. So I just would love to share with you about the upcoming summit, which is February 1st, Monday, at noon Pacific for 1.5 hours, and then Wednesday, February 3rd, for the same amount of time, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, featuring Congressman Tim Ryan on Wednesday evening and others, other hosts, as well as on Monday we're going to have the honor of hosting Kamisha Fatima Gentry and Dominic Barter. So we'll be talking about the ways in which people have been working in schools already, working cross-spectrum with different facets of our community and representatives, and how social and emotional learning in schools, as well as restorative practices, are starting to show the turning of tides. So that's going to be a very exciting summit. We have plenty of information that you can receive from our team here at the Peace Alliance, and we're working with you and so many others to just spread this information for this free summit as widely as possible, and of course beyond the United States. I'd really love to close actually with a little bit more in-depth information about the course itself, in case you would like to have a little sneak preview about what we're going to be doing. And so I'm going to share a little bit here with you from the online page that we're developing. The general takeaways that we're going to be offering from this course, again, featuring Kay Pranis, Carolyn Boyce Watson, Fania Davis, Nancy Riestenberg, Rita Aldridge, Kamisha Fatima Gentry, Dominic Barter, Hart Phoenix and Jeffrey Weisberg, and Chris McKenna of Mindful Schools. We'll cover the areas of restorative practices, mindfulness in schools, and social emotional learning. And the takeaways that we would like to offer and that we are hoping to offer are a response to filling a need that we are perceiving in our country, in our society, and the benefits of sharing these tools and skills in our schools. Learning how schools have saved time in the long run by implementing peace-building systems in their classroom. You'll receive step-by-step how-tos for your own school or related system. You'll find out how it benefits staff morale and changes the climate of a school towards a compassionate and verdant environment for best learning possibilities. You'll also hear from youth themselves who, of course, are the people who are building the structures of our tomorrows, in what works and seems viable in building a peaceful school community and what doesn't, plus how they've done it together. You'll also learn how peace building and restorative practices can strengthen the greater school community, which includes parents, school staff, related professional representatives, such as resource officers and counselors, and the community at large, where partnerships and programs interlink. You'll also learn or build upon areas, because we know that so many of us are already in progress with our learning and our implementing, such as nonviolent communication skills and languaging, peace circle processes and how facilitation works, key research done in the past 20 years surrounding restorative justice in schools, and much more. So we'll be practicing and experiencing useful tools together with our faculty and receiving directly recommended resources from each of our faculty. And finally, receiving audio recordings of all those live sessions. We'll have interactive practices and Q&As and make it as much of a circle as possible in each session. I hope that I've been helpful in providing some information to you and resources, because after all, it's all of us who weave the community that is the beloved community, and that we can take action and know that we're empowered together if we feel connected and we have the tools that we need. So thank you, and pardon me for going slightly over time.
That was wonderful, Molly. Thanks. Anyone who has a question for Molly is welcome to push 1 on your keypad, and we'll call on you one by one. So I really appreciate that, Molly. That was a great overview of what's there on the Restorative Justice on the Rise site, and a little bit of an introduction to what people can expect in this summit and series. Again, if you have a question for Molly, please go ahead and push 1 on your keypad. That's the raising of a hand. Okay, I see. At least 1 is up. Go ahead, Peggy.
Oh, hi. This sounds absolutely wonderful and so much what our school district would benefit from. How do you suggest that we approach our school? Is it the superintendent, the board, an individual teacher, a counselor? And there's not a whole lot of time to get them on board. I want them to listen to these, you know, the call on the first and the third. But there's the issue of money. And, would they need to write themselves? I'm really being practical about, I feel sure they'd want to do it. I'm not sure if they'd know if they could do it.
Well, it's a wonderful question and a common one, Peggy. I mean, I know that time and money are really key to being able to show up. For the summit itself, again, it's free. And so my first thought would be, Peggy, that you might invite your colleagues, whoever they might be in your particular school district, to come to the summit, which is at lunchtime, 12 p.m. Pacific time, on Monday, February 1st. And, of course, Dominic Barter will be there sharing quite a bit in depth about his experiences setting up a restorative school in Brazil, and also how it's worked for him working with cross-spectrum representatives of different systems and listening instead of proselytizing, per se, listening to what needs are and finding out how we might, work together to look at those needs and listen to what those needs might be and how we might meet them with some of these practices and tools. Now, as far as cost is concerned, we have a sliding scale of opportunities for people to opt into the full course. We also do have some scholarships available, but we do have in mind wanting to make sure everybody that wants to be there, that needs to be there, that's drawn to this, that they will have the opportunity to pick the rate at which they want to come in. They're very reasonable rates. And off the top of my head, I'm not looking at the sheet of rates right now. But we'll make sure that everybody knows what those are very clearly and very shortly. So I hope that answers your question. We really discuss this at length because we want to make sure that people feel like they can make this work for them if they're drawn.
Can I ask one other thing? Are the teachers, traditionally, have they been paying for this themselves, or has the school district been paying for it, in other areas when you've offered this?
Well, I can tell you this, that we will be providing a credential sheet for teachers and educators and administrators to then turn around for continuing education submission credits.
Yes, I was asking about that earlier. That's wonderful to know. So they
can get we will be providing that for people because we have this beautiful lineup of very capable, very incredible folks lined up as our faculty. So we'll be doing that for sure.
Okay.
And then what was your previous question again? Sorry.
Well, just about the cost in terms of if teachers are paying for this or are the school districts paying for it. I'm just focusing, of course, on the schools. I am not a teacher. I am going to definitely listen to this because, and participate in the whole thing. It just sounds incredible. But I sure would like our teachers, and they don't have a whole bunch of money, and our schools actually don't either. So I was just wondering what the norm is. Are individuals paying it, or are school districts doing it?
It's a both and. In my past experience, I've seen schools, a principal and, for example, the social worker come in on the school budget. So if people need assistance in fielding questions like this and getting the materials that they need to take back to submit a budget proposal, we certainly can help with that as best we can.
Okay, wonderful.
Hey, Molly and Peggy, mm-hmm. This is Bob. As a former public school teacher, I can tell you that It'll depend on where you are, what school district, and what their budgets are, and so on. But it is not. It would not be unique. It's probably not even all that unusual for some school budgets to include a certain amount of money for teacher professional development. You know, the teacher would then have to make a proposal typically to their school administrator to say, you know, this is going to be valuable because it'll be useful here, and I can bring it back, bring the insights back. So some schools actually do have funding to help their teachers with professional development. On the other hand, having been in this situation myself, sometimes the teacher has to pay for it, but on the other hand, they get their professional certification and continuing certification, and that's helpful to them in the long run as well. So,
okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I see another few raised hands. Let me call on at least one, possibly two other folks. Cindy, want to go ahead?
No, the question I had was already answered. Thank you, though.
Okay, great, thanks. How about Bobby Joe? Bobby Joe?
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, here I am. Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. So I guess I just wanted to say I love this presentation. I love the idea of the webinar summit, and I'm trying to get the word out. But we also, I'm from San Bernardino County here in California, and I would love to know, kind of piggyback off of the question about how do you get this in your local schools. San Bernardino is an area that really needs a lot of the mindset of restorative justice, and we actually, in restorative education, and we actually did have a program that was funded before through the county, and our board of supervisors, after a two-year run, said, you know, we're no longer philosophically or financially inclined to support something like this. And so what I would want to do, and we actually have an event coming up in April, what I want to do is, you know, invite you guys to come visit and kind of share this details, because a lot of times they need to hear sort of a third party verification of what works and a presentation, and I can definitely rally some community support behind the conversation, and we'd continue to work after, you know, something like that. So I'm extending that invitation and just sort of getting some, appreciate any feedback that you might have for our community.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
I'm assuming I can go ahead. You bring up, thank you, Bobby Joe. Of course, this is Molly. That is a huge point. And it actually points back to what we're going to be up to with a couple of our folks that are joining us to guide the sessions for the course. One of them is Mara Schiff. And she is going to bring a couple people from her team in Orange County, Florida, who have been facing immense challenges, and also probably similar perhaps to some that you've been facing in San Bernardino, and the ways in which they have recovered and repaired and even built the funding and the structures that they need to continue to move forward. Not only that, we're going to hear from Carolyn Boyce Watson and Kay Prannis, as well as Nancy Riestenberg and Rita Alfred. Rita's from Oakland and Nancy's from Minnesota, and they both work very much inside their systems in their respective states. And so this is one of the really great things about this course, I believe, is the fact that we're going to be working our situations together. We're going to have time to do that with the course guides and find out how these particular unique situations that we're facing in our communities might have been faced and perhaps even gotten through in a certain way in other communities. And not only that, on top of that, you'll have the recordings. If you would like to, like you said about the third party, these recordings from this course are shareable information with officials. So like I've done with Restorative Justice on the Rise, we're going to try and capsule some of the gems from the teaching sessions so that they can then be shared out in an official way with people who might need or want to hear more about what has worked in other places to support the progress, even if it's not happening right now for you or is feeling like it's been three steps backward. Perhaps there's ways that something like this can support you in moving forward again. Thank you again for that.
Thank you. That was.
Sorry.
I hope that's helpful.
I think we have time for one more question, and let's see if we can squeeze it in. Kim, you want to go ahead in Seattle?
Hey. Yes. Thanks. Hey.
Sure.
Hi, Molly.
Hi, Kim.
Oh, I am so happy that we're all doing this. I'm so excited to be to catch up with you and all that and everyone else. It's like it's the exactly right time. I feel like this series. So thank
mm-hmm.
you so much. And, yeah.
Well, thank you for all that you're up to.
Sure. I was excited to hear that some youth will be joining the conversation and wondering if that will possibly be in the first workshop or the second. And I guess the other kind of more of a note than maybe a question, but is about keeping it, I'm hoping that we can really talk about get creative and have solutions that are really arts minded. Like you had mentioned playback theater, or someone else did once, and someone else mentioned another teacher I'm working with, Theater of the Oppressed. That sounds really
mm-hmm.
interesting to me, and maybe that's part of the circle process. I'd like to hear more about that. I'm wondering if that'll be covered in any of the first two sessions.
The points what you bring up is so important and critical to all of this, in that creativity really is the wellspring, and being open to creativity and to the fact that there is no one answer to, you know, to the questions that we're asking, and that we have a space that's open enough to allow for other things to arise. So as far as playback theater and, you know, specific shares from people representing playback theater, I'm hoping people will be a part of this in speaking about what their experiences are during the sessions that are with our faculty. Now, we don't have a faculty from playback or from Theater of the Oppressed. I know Taya Sepinuk, for example, from the Theater of the Witness. She's doing extraordinary work, and she was a former honored guest on Restorative Justice on the Rise a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all interweaving. But like
mm-hmm.
as a part of this initial effort to build momentum around how we can leverage technology in this way to come together, to empower each other, and to truly connect as best we can in a training
mm-hmm.
like this, which is an overview. It's an overview, okay? It's not like an intensive, but we'll see how this rolls, and we will see how we might be able to offer things that bring in more creativity and, of course, bring in more youth voices, because the youth voices that are going to be with us during the course, you know, it's not enough, I don't think. I mean, but
mm-hmm.
that's just the way it's going to be for this beginning launch. And I can envision having a youth course that's completely devoted to raising up youth voices and experiences. But in this case,
mm-hmm.
we have them interspersed, and hopefully they'll show up to share their stories, because I know that most of these faculty members want to hear from our youth mm-hmm. and talk to people from all parts of these school systems to, you know, support finding ways to implement and to remove the burden from people, because I think people are feeling immense burdens right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a long-winded answer, but this is the initial launch of something, and I hope that we can together build momentum so that we can provide future opportunities that will focus on our youth, that will focus on creativity and peace building and restorative processes. So thank you for raising that.
Thank you.
I'm glad we had the chance to hear that, and it really kind of wraps things up beautifully. I'm going to turn this over to Bob to say sort of a final thank you. Molly, of course, you're welcome to stay for the rest of the call, but I think Bob's going to say you're welcome to depart now if you're of that mind as well. Thanks from me. And Bob.
I'll stick around. I just want to say I'm happy to stick around if anybody wants to stay, you know, late for any further questions, really. I'm happy. I'll stay here, and I'll be quiet now.
Well, this is Bob again, and I want to thank you, Molly. You know, once again, no surprise here. You put together a very inspiring and educational and informative presentation, and you continue with, I know, one of your missions in life, which is to spread the word among people, to get them to better understand and hopefully utilize some of the tools that are available to give them an alternative to some of the more punitive and incarcerating and even disciplinary policies that are unfortunately too frequently used. But once again, you just did an absolutely terrific job, and I said I'm not surprised because I've heard you do it so many times. So thank you very, very much for coming on, giving us your evening, and carry on.
Great. So I think that's over to me.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. The first thing I want to cover in our announcements is about spreading the word for this summit and series. So if Molly, if you want to chime in, if I miss anything or if you want to adjust anything, feel free. The first thing I want to say is if you have gotten wind of this and want to share this information with people in your network, there are a few different ways that you can do that. I think probably most of you or all of you are on the Peace Alliance mailing list, so you've received an email from the Peace Alliance about the summit and series. You can simply forward that with a note and tell folks that this is something you're excited about, because that'll have the links for both the summit and the series. You can also refer people to the homepage of our website, peacealliance.org. Right at the top, there's a beautiful banner and a link for people to register for the summit and learn more about the series. You can also post information on Facebook. There are links there on our site that you can use to post, and you can tweet about it. We don't have a definite hashtag yet. It may be Teaching Peace in Schools, but don't quote me on that. Molly, am I missing anything about how to spread the word about this opportunity?
I think you've covered it. Did you share the hashtag, Teaching Peace in Schools, all one word?
It might be Peace in Schools,
and
one word.
That's right. So
okay,
Teaching Peace in Schools, all one word. And then on Facebook, if you feel like you'd like to tag organizations or friends, that's also a nice way to add the image. We have a little packet of images we can send to you if you don't already have them, that you can distribute regarding the summit.
Great. Great, great. And then one thing I didn't actually mention was the old-fashioned way, if you will, is just tell people about it. Tell people in person or over the phone. And one thing to keep in mind, whether or not somebody registers to participate in this opportunity, simply sharing with them the news that there are people across the country who care about teaching peace in schools and are taking action to promote this phenomenon, sharing this information may be a really huge blessing for someone just to know about what's happening in the world. It might lift their spirits a little bit. It might lift their heart. and maybe enable them to find strength to go on with a little more optimism and maybe even go on and make substantial contributions of their own in different ways. So I'm just saying, talk about it. We're sharing tangible hope, and maybe folks will join in this offering or something else in their life. But that's part of what draws me to this work, is the chance to share tangible reasons for optimism that really are on a path to progress. Yeah. I want to check in. I called out for Grassroots Victories, and I know we've had a few things published over the last month, and they're, you know, beautiful pieces. I got a note from Finn Washer in Houston about a wonderful thing that he is in the process of accomplishing, and I asked him if he would want to share it on the call tonight, or if it would be okay with him if I read the note that he sent me. Now, Finn, I've unmuted you. Would you want to share what you sent me, or would you like me to share it? Would either of those things be okay with you?
Well, sure. Just see the way you want to do it, Dan.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us what it was.
Okay. This is a course on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and we're bringing in six speakers to and have diligently sought to get those who understand and feel the grief of both sides. And we have a seminary professor coming to talk, introduce people to the complexities and history of the issue who may know nothing about it. We have a professor from Rice University here in Houston to talk about the Muslim faith. And we have the general executive of our presbytery is taking a group over to Israel, and then 1 week later will be with us to discuss that trip, and his leanings are Jewish. And then among the other speakers is a Palestinian who lives in San Antonio, who has written his the memoir of his early life in Jerusalem, as Israel became a nation in 1948. His book is Born in Jerusalem, Born a Palestinian, and Jacob Namor is his name, and his book now is in the second printing. It's gotten quite a bit of attention on Google. So I'm pretty excited, and the great thing is among the congregation there seems to be an excitement and an interest that I had not anticipated at all. So I think this is going to mean a lot to our congregation.
Thanks, Finn. I just got chills just listening to you talking about that, and it really just underlines what a wonderful group this is. I appreciate so much what you're doing, and I think it's a great example of what many people in our network are up to. Some are, you know, may have done things like this in the past or have plans for it in the future, but it's a beautiful example, and thanks for sharing about it.
You're welcome.
Okay, so moving on, I want to share a little bit about our accomplishments in 2015 and our goals for 2016. These are our stats from last year, from 2015, the things that we've kept track of. In our field, that includes you and other folks in our field. So we had 13 letters to the editor published. We had 7 op-ed pieces published. We had 6 newspaper articles generated, 1 editorial piece, 2 radio interviews, 180 congressional visits, that's visits with members of Congress or their staff, 11 tabling events, 21 coalition building meetings, and 8 presentations. So you can hear that the things we're measuring are things which share information, promote understanding, and create political will for peace building and build networks and make public connections. These are the things that we're measuring. And our goals for 2016, here are the specific accomplishments that we are intending to support. And while I'm reading these, maybe you'll ask yourself, I encourage you to ask yourself, what parts of our nationwide goals you might see yourself helping to achieve. Because we're aiming kind of high in some of these areas, and part of that is because we feel like over the last year or two, folks in our field have gotten pretty strong feet under them, that you've got a pretty strong foundation in what you're doing. And so we're seeing some really big leaps in our field and what we think you're capable of in the coming year. So this is what we're looking for. We want to, in terms of the number of action teams, we want to go up from 25 to 32, which is a kind of a modest increase, but we're looking at a real solid 32. We want to see 50 letters to the editor published, 25 op-eds published, 6 newspaper articles, 2 new editorials, 150 meetings with members of Congress or their staff. Now, this is 150 new, and we had 180 last year, but there's a solid chance that we won't have a conference this year, I'm sad to say. So in the case that we don't have a conference, 150 is still a pretty high number to aim for. 25 coalition building meetings, 25 tabling opportunities at events, and 13 public presentations. So these are some things you might think about when you understand what we're measuring, what we think are sort of the benchmarks for accomplishing our long-term goals and our short-term goals in peace building, community building, education, and think about what role you might play in this. We actually provided a worksheet for all our action teams to work with on setting these goals for themselves and their teams. This is also something each of you can think of individually, is which of those things are exciting, which could be fun. And I know several of our teams have done some goal setting, and one of them is the team in Seward, Alaska. And I asked Lori Draper, our Seward, Alaska action team leader, who's also our assistant national field director, if she would share with us a little bit about that process, the goal setting process, and what they came up with. Lori, you ready to share?
I am. Can you hear me well enough if I'm on speaker?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, good. Well, because my team's here with me, our small but mighty Seward, Alaska team, and we sat down together and mapped out our goals. So the first thing we did was celebrate our accomplishments for 2015, and we're pretty proud after we made our list of what we got accomplished. So we sat down and did that first, and then everyone agreed that we wanted to build on that and do even more in 2016. So last year we got 2 letters to the editor, an op-ed, 4 newspaper articles, 6 meetings, sit-down meetings with a member of Congress or staff, 1 3-day tabling event, 2 public presentations, two of us attended the conference. We raised over $500, and we got the co-sponsored on Yen. So, yeah, we were pretty pumped about that. And so what we did was decide to sit down and expand on those. We want to go ahead and do the same amount of visits. We figured if we visited, sit down with each member twice a year, that would still be really good, along with the, you know, other things we're going to do in conversation with them throughout the year. We also want to get 6 letters to the editor published this year and 2 op-eds. And I already have 1, so woohoo. Coalition building meetings, we want to do 2 of those. We want to identify 2 groups probably in the Anchorage area, which is, you know, 120 miles from us, but it's kind of obviously the hub of Alaska. So we want to identify a couple groups there and try to have meetings. We want to do our tabling event again, and we want to have 2 more public presentations. And we want to our team development is going to be the teaching piece and schools piece. And what we would like to do is get 1 person from each school in our town to attend with us as a group. And we already have 2 commitments from the high school and the middle school, so we're just working on the elementary school now. And then we want to also go to D.C., whatever happens, whether it's lobby days or a conference, we want to have at least 2 of us go to D.C. and hopefully all of us. And then we want to expand our team by 2 people. So that's the goals that we've set for ourselves. And, you know, we filled out our document pretty carefully, and I actually expanded on it. And I'm happy to share it with anybody who's interested. We made action steps for each one of those goals that we made of how we were going to accomplish it.
Wow. Can you give us an example, Lori? Like maybe just pick the letters to the editor. Did you set action steps for how you're going to get those letters to the editor that you're planning on?
Yes. On that one, we said submit at least 6 letters to the editor throughout the year, when articles in the Dispatch move us, and the who's responsible for that was all of us. So each one of us committed to submitting six throughout the year. And then we, the second step was to send at least two to the local paper if they didn't make it to the statewide paper. So that would mean that each one of us would pick one of those to send to our local paper, which is a weekly.
Brilliant, brilliant. So there are lots of ways of going about this. And if you have any questions or want support around taking this kind of action on your own or with a group, I know Lori and I are all ears. We're happy to connect with you about this. Lori is Lori at peacealliance.org, and my address is dan@peacealliance.org. So feel free to be in touch. And if you want to, if you're not on an action team currently and you would be interested in trying to build that kind of a system of support around you, also drop us a line and let's talk about trying to create an action team to really have folks support each other in achieving these goals. So speaking of actions, let's move along to the monthly action sheet. Folks who have it in front of them, let's go ahead and review it. I'm going to ask for some volunteers, but we want to move quickly. So Lori has excitedly agreed to be my sort of default automatic volunteer. If no hands go up in about the first 3 or 4 seconds, I'm going to call on Lori. So we'd love to hear some other voices, but we're also always glad to hear Lori's voice too. So please press 1 on your keypad if you're volunteer, if you have the action sheet in front of you and you'd volunteer to read the first 2 paragraphs of that action sheet. Go ahead and press 1. Oh, I see you 1. Terrific. That is that Gia? Yeah, Gia, can you hear me?
Hi, Dan. Yes, it's me.
Hi, Gia.
Hi.
Will you go ahead and read from the top through those first 2 paragraphs?
Sure. January 2016 action. Letters to the editor on Martin Luther King Jr. Birthday and Youth Promise Act. On Monday, January 18th, we celebrated the birth of and life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let's write letters to our editors, LTE, supporting the Youth Promise Act and invoking Dr. King's legacy toward a more beloved community. These letters will educate your community that this issue is important and that there are effective solutions. These letters will tell your members of Congress that we value constructive policies like the YPA, and these letters will tell the world that Dr. King's dream is alive.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Will you also read the first paragraph down under the EPIC format? What does the E in EPIC stands for?
Let's see. Engage to the editors. Reference an article about Martin Luther King's birthday and or some relevant local story about youth violence or crime. In about 1 sentence, state your reaction to it, how you felt reading it.
Okay, great. And while you're at it, will you tell us what the P stands for?
Problem. Mention in your own words the national tragedy of rampant youth violence and incarceration.
Or however you want to frame the problem. And then what does the I stand for?
Inform about the solution.
Okay, and what about the C?
Call to action.
Okay, great. And the call to action in this case is generally going to be call on your member of Congress to co-sponsor this bill or call on your fellow citizens to support the Youth Promise Act. Okay, thank you, Gia. That's great. Can I have another volunteer who would tell us, in a nutshell, what would the Youth Promise Act do? Can I have a volunteer tell us what the Youth Promise Act would do? Four, three, two, one. Okay, Lori?
Thank you, guys. The Youth Promise Act, if passed, would provide funding for programs that would be selected at a local level by local stakeholders to come up with programs for youth that would keep them from hopefully keep them from going down the path of youth incarceration and violence.
Okay. And let me ask a follow-up question. Tell me, what do you think that might have to do with Dr. Martin Luther King's dream or any Dr. Martin Luther King's ideas?
Oh,
you know, which one doesn't it cover? I mean, it's the beloved community. It's, you know, it's speaking to nonviolence. And I think of.
Great.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah, true, too. And there's, as you said, there's no right answer. There are many ways to frame this. Looking at what is a letter to the editor, a letter to the editor is in response to something that's in the paper already, okay? Something is in your local paper that you're going to respond to, either an article or an opinion piece. So one of the first steps, if you're taking this on, is to find something that's somewhat relevant in the paper to what we're trying to advocate. So we're going to do a little exercise on what's called bridging, like building a bridge. It's creating a bridge from the printed piece in your paper to your intended message. Okay, you can do it practically just from the headline, although I encourage you to read the whole article you're responding to. But for now, let's just, if you have a newspaper in front of you, either online or hard copy, let's look at the headlines and come up with what our first sentence or two of our letter might be if we find a headline that is close to the right direction. So everyone who has a newspaper nearby or can find one online, please play along with this. And can I have a volunteer who's willing to try this out and give a look for a headline that might be relevant to the Youth Promise Act or to Martin Luther King and come up with what your first line or two of your letter might be? Can you press 1 on your keypad if you'd be willing to give this a try? Four, three, two, one. My internet connection is a little bit dodgy at the moment. So if there's a hand going up and I'm not seeing it, I apologize. But Lori, do you have a newspaper nearby and you'd be willing to try this with me?
I think I see Kim's hand up.
You see it? It's my internet connection. Okay, let me unmute her. Kim, are you there? Kim, are you there? You might be muted. Hello, Kim? Are you muting yourself?
Yeah.
Kim?
Your hand is up.
Hmm. It might be that the connection is not letting me unmute her.
I'm going to send her a quick text.
Well, we're just about a minute or two away from the top of the hour. So
okay.
You give it a try, Lori. Sorry, Kim. Thanks for being willing, and sorry we weren't able to get you through. Do you have a paper with you, Lori?
I do, and we've been scouring it since we got here, and there's really nothing that's jumping out at us.
Read us a couple of headlines that might come close.
Okay. You're going to laugh at our last paper. NewTek loses power after generator breaks down. Barrow couple had a freezing tundra wedding on skis. More Alaska families choosing homeschooling.
Okay, that could work. More Alaska families choosing homeschooling. Okay, let's imagine that we're going to work with that. So,
okay.
Just let your imagination go. More Alaska families are choosing homeschooling. We're talking about, you know, local choice. It's talking about care for our children. What would your first sentence or two potentially be if you were going to craft a letter that says, "Here's how I feel about this letter, about this article, and here's how I want to bridge to my issue." Go ahead, give it a try.
I was really interested when I saw the article about more Alaskan families choosing homeschooling as an option for teaching their children. What a great time to include some peace building educational opportunities for these children.
Uh-huh. I think folks on the call, you can probably hear where she's going. You can already see the bridge being built, and you might have your own way that you would respond to that. Are we talking about kids needing to learn care and compassion, and how the Youth Promise Act brings so much to the table in terms of potential conflict resolution and local choice and the need to make a more peaceful society? So it was a stretch, but it was doable. So thanks, Lori. I want to encourage folks to consider taking this action even this evening, or if not this evening, then the next few days. Put it on your calendar if that helps. So you can look at a paper and see what you find, maybe something about body cameras or something about police budgets or local budgets, because the Youth Promise Act is going to save a lot of money. And let us know how it goes. The action sheet there should give you plenty of guidance. And Lori and I are totally available if you have any questions. Again, Lori at peacealliance.org and Dan at peacealliance.org. So Molly and I are both going to stay on a little while after the end of the call if folks have questions about the series or the summit or anything that I can help with. And I'll ask Lori to share a closing quote, and then we'll open up all the lines so that people can hear each other's voices saying things like good night. Go ahead, Lori. Lori? You might be muted, Lori. You have a closing quote for us? Well, I'll share the quote that Lori was going to share. It was, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." I love this call. I love you all. And you're unmuted, hopefully. And feel free to say goodnight to each other. And again, stay on if you want to stick around with questions for Molly or for me.
Good night. Thanks, Dan.
Good night, everybody.
Everyone dream.
Good night.
Thank you. Wonderful call.
Good night.
Thanks for the big dreams. Good night.
Ache, Benny.
Dan?
Yes.
It's Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I have a question for Molly.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm still here,
okay,
dear.
Molly, this is Cheryl Kaplan. I'm from Gainesville, Florida. I have several questions about the course that you put together. Could school counselors all come together to listen, or do they need to do this separately? And if they do it together, would there be a course guide? I mean, in paper, a paper course guide.
Okay, those are great questions, Cheryl, and it's really nice to hear your voice. Hope all is well.
Yes, thank you.
So I hope I answered this correctly, because Dan and I and everybody talked about this before. Are you asking a technical question or a registration rate question, first of all?
Well, I'm not a teacher. I don't work in the schools. But if we have school counselors that would like to take the course and they do it all together at school, do they all have to pay a separate fee? How would that work, or did they just have to do it separately?
No, we'll be working. We have a group rate, I believe. Dan, do you remember the rates? Because for some reason, I didn't have them in front of me. I thought they were on the course page here that I was looking at, but
the general sliding scale is 99 to 199. And I don't remember what the group rate is. It's a break from that if you have four or more people, and then of course scholarships available. So that's what I know.
Right, and you know, Cheryl, it's really what
I remember that it was 25% reduction for a group rate. Each person would be 25% less.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay. So if we had, if we would have like maybe four counselors from high school and middle school, all together, then it would be a group rate that the administration might pay. That's what I'm
right,
hoping.
And that's what I want. That's what I believe that we are trying to go for. I wish I had, again, like a definitive like group rate and how many. But what I would suggest is that, first of all, maybe the first thing to do is to see if people would like to get together and listen to it together. Because if you have a speakerphone, you can get together and just all be in the same room to participate.
Right.
Now, if people
right,
want to ask questions, yeah. So that's a really nice way to make this a community type training, and for you know for there to be some time before and after to download about what that particular session was and everything and share together. Now, as far as a manual is concerned, I think you asked about a paper guide.
Yes.
And each session, which I didn't have time to tell you a little bit more about each session, but each session and subsequent faculty guide is providing suggested materials for reading. Some of them may have more than others. And some of them may be doing also interactive screen shares during their session. But as far as like a printed guide that everybody gets along with the course, we don't have anything like that.
Okay.
But we will have very, very valuable links to information that they recommend. And nobody has to buy anything extra as far as books or anything.
Mm-hmm. They can just get it pulled down online. I was thinking Heart Phoenix could, we could host something at the River Phoenix Center for Peace Building. That would be a wonderful thing that could happen over there. So we'll be talking. But anyway, thank you, Molly.
Well, I want to be more specific for you, Cheryl, because that question is probably something that others might want to know about. So if you would email Katrina@peacealliance.org, if you think you're going to have a larger group of professionals or citizens, you know, activists, practitioners, whoever they are, then please email Katrina@peacealliance.org. She's our online course manager, and I'll work with her and with our team to make sure that we provide the specific information about group rates.
Okay.
And people can also email me at Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, at peacealliance.org.
At peacealliance. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Janice. I just had a quick question, and you may have just answered it, Molly. This class isn't specifically geared just for teachers in a classroom setting, is it? Because, I mean, I guess I was reading it, and it seemed like it would be useful for anyone that was, you know, interested or involved in peace building. I'm on the Chicago Action Team, and I just thought it would be really useful with other people that I meet along the way.
Well, I certainly would agree with you, Janice, but it's a good question. I mean, you know, in the old ways, you're always thinking about, well, who's your target audience when you provide something like this as an offering, but truly cultivating a school community is all of our business, really. You know, our youth are hopefully all of our concern. And, of course, we know that most of us, I know for me, I can speak for myself, I need to learn all of the things that we're going to be teaching and deepen those things, even though I'm not a teacher. Well, actually, I am. I'm a PE teacher. But as far as it concerns, is this just for educators? My answer would be, you know, ask that question to yourself and see what you think about, like, school communities. Does that mean just the school building itself? Does the school day and the school building kind of have its own perimeter, or does it involve our greater community? And I think probably most of us would agree that the answer to that question is, you know, it involves all of us, really, in some form or another. And since we're covering in an overview mindfulness and restorative practices, and how people have come up against challenges and nuances that have been very difficult because schools are very difficult places to, you know, find even time to ask questions about, well, maybe how can we shift this? And do we really want to devote ourselves to this? You know, this feels like more than we can do right now, or ever. And so it's a wonderful template for everything else that's happening with restorative justice in this country, in my humble view, in my being lucky enough to hear all the wisdom out there, a lot of the wisdom out there from a lot of different people. It seems like this was the place where we could really launch something of use and really start something that would advance the dialogue and create more interconnectivity for people and tools that are practical. So,
well, I already signed up. I was planning to do it, and I know I'll have other opportunities to use it because I'm also involved with a group here in Chicago called Peace Within Youth, and it's kind of a small grassroots group, and right now they're in five Chicago Public School teaching yoga and meditation. And how I will be involved is I'm a Veriditas certified labyrinth facilitator, so I will be doing workshops, hopefully one at each school throughout the semester. And my idea was to use the labyrinth as a tool to kind of bring it, they also use the topic of the nonviolent communication in their meditations. And so I thought we would play a game with that of kind of, my idea was to take different words and then have like one of those yoga balls, those soft balls, and throw it across. And then whoever catches it has to think of a corresponding word that would be, you know, this is a negative, is that a negative feeling? What's a positive feeling? And so on, to kind of make it a game for them to play. So using what I'm going to be learning. So I don't think it'll be wasted.
Wonderful. I love that idea. That's very visceral and physically interactive and can do the whole brain thing too.
Well, and they might pay attention because it'll be fun.
Right. I wanted to go back really quick, if I might, to what Kim brought up earlier during our, you know, more of the larger group call, and that was some really important points about our youth. In the future, and always on my mind, is how to provide a platform for the for our youth to speak up. So, given that you all are such devoted action team members and really doing what you're doing and have your own networks and have your own awareness about who's out there, I'm just going to say if you feel so moved to recommend a youth or someone that you think might like to speak to their experiences, then if you would please email me or our team about that person in your community, because, you know, like I said, we're building and launching this series, but we're also hoping to possibly do more. And a youth summit has been on the horizon for quite some time, where it's only kids and teens sharing and speaking from their own line of experience, because there's a lot of them out there. That is for sure. So I hope
Great.
That's a clear invitation. The invitation is to our action team members. If you are so moved, to please email me or one of our team members and they'll get it to me, where we can just discuss ways in which we can better serve a platform, whether it's a course or a summit or whatever it might be, that really helps our youth to feel like they're getting some form of space to express their needs and also to share their experiences, because they have a lot of wisdom.
Molly, this is Dan. I love that, and I just wanted to note there are some people who are still on the call and who've been on the call who may not be on action teams, and I imagine that the same invitation extends to them if their passion is here and
Absolutely.
They know some.
Yeah.
They might
Absolutely.
Connect.
Yeah.
What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Anyone else have a question? Everyone's unmuted, so if you have a question, go ahead and let's hear it.
Hey, Dan. This is Erin Demon in Seattle. How are you?
Hi, Erin. Very well, thanks. How are you? Glad to see you on the call.
Hey, great to hear your voice. Super grateful for Peace Alliance, always, and super excited about more focus being put on our future world leaders.
You just went silent, Erin. Did you mute yourself by accident? Are you still hearing us, Erin? We can't hear you.
Looks like she got kicked off somehow.
Oh.
Darn.
Maybe she'll call back in. I still see her, but maybe that's my slow connection. Oh, no, she's gone. You're right. Okay, anybody else have a question, if you dare?
Am I on?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I don't have a question. This is Crazy Marianne in Boise, Molly.
Hi, Marianne.
What a gift this has been to catch up, because I really missed listening before, but I wasn't tuned in to what you're really doing now, and I hadn't heard about your mom. I was very happy you shared that, and I'm going to call one of our daughters right after this, unless she's lesson planning in the middle, but I'll call her back mm-hmm. then. She's a presidential award-winning teacher, and both uh-huh. she and her husband teach at a charter school. So I'm
mm-hmm.
going to make them aware if they haven't already heard. So I just want to say thank you. And how's David?
He's doing wonderfully. Yep, he's going to be 10 in May. And it's so good to hear your voice, Marianne. I miss seeing you. And if I could say, you really actually bring up a great point that I'm not sure I just reiterated about sharing in any way that we can with people who are working in schools. And I know Carolyn Boyce Watson and Kate Prentice's Heart of Hope manual and Circle Forward, the second in that series. So it's two manuals that they created through mm-hmm. Living Justice Press. They're selling out in school districts, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston. And so, they're going to actually be the openers to the course. And we're working to do the best we can to share the opportunity of the summit, especially the summit right now, but the course too, obviously, Because we want people to feel like they come away with something, even if there aren't, even if they aren't able to make it to the course. And that, you know, given that it's free. And so, if you can share with people that you know that are teachers, and if you have connections with school districts, if you have connections with charter schools and networks across state or just even locally, then please just encourage them, you know, to come and check out this summit if they can. Have a sandwich and share the speakerphone and listen in. But Marianne, I just want to share with everybody, Marianne and I work together. I don't want to take up too much time, but I think we need to make note of this, Marianne. You were a part of the founding of a program called Sustainable Futures in Boise, Idaho, that was a reentry program that combined recycling of glass into reusable wares that were sold back to the community restaurants, and also worked with the women coming out of prison to shine light on their own unique skills and help them to bridge back, whatever that might mean, bridge back, but mm-hmm. I think you guys know what I mean. And that was quite a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still flourishing in Boise, isn't it, Marianne, under a different name?
I'm not sure. I think it has shifted the name, but I will check up and see.
Wonderful work.
Well, I'll give you a big hug, Marianne. Thank you. Love
you.
Well,
likewise to you. both of you, I just, I'm so impressed and challenged to do a little something about sharing. I would real quick, too, say that there's a wonderful, phone call is tomorrow. There's seven of us that have stayed together by phone that learned a whole bunch of stuff in Montana a long time ago. Anyway, this wonderful doctor that teaches doctors went to your international thing in Texas, and I'm still trying to figure out why he did, but now he'll be on if he's on the call tomorrow, I'm going to make him aware of what one of the folks shared about Texas down there. Because now I kind of have a sense of how come he went.
And Marianne, what is that call, dear? I'm not clear on what that call is. Who's hosting?
Living in Process is where we all met, which is Anna
uh-huh.
Wilson Chase International Program. And
okay.
We've been on the phone together for 10 years now.
Wow. Hey, Molly, this is Lori. I just wanted to think out loud here for a second with you about this group idea.
Sure.
I'm wondering, we're thinking of getting together as a group, listening in on one call with a speakerphone, but having the other people called in on their own phones, but keeping them quiet. So that if they have an individual question, they could, you know, interact on their keypads and everything and then turn up their volume when they need to, if they're called
mm-hmm.
on or if they have anything interactive to do. I don't know. What do you think about that idea?
I think a both and is a good idea, and I think we should work with groups case by case that are larger than, like, four people or even larger than two. You know, just so that there can be that, because like Lori's saying, everybody, we have to have, like we do right now in this room, we each had a unique PIN number and dial-in, in order for our names to show up in the room. And that's very helpful in creating an atmosphere of connectivity, because obviously we know who is here, and if people would like to ask a question, it's very simple, and then we can open up their mic. So I think we all know how that works in here, and that's what we would like to replicate for this course and for the summit too. So I think it just comes back to how I answered earlier regarding groups, and that we need to address those case by case and make sure that you get what you need, really.
Yeah.
And as far as the registration rate, you know, it doesn't make sense for everybody to pay. We need to decide on what a group rate would be. I don't think we have that up there.
I was wondering if there might come a time when they separated you off into groups, which might be challenging, but I guess we'll just cross that bridge when we come to it.
In some sessions, we'll be doing breakout sessions, so that's a good point.
Well, and the other thing is, this is Janice. You had mentioned this certification. So, I mean, you know, I would think that that would be one of the that's why I paid to sign up for it, because I would be getting the certification for taking the course. So then that's enough. I'm just throwing this out. I don't care how you guys decide to handle it, but it's another consideration that you'll have to factor in when you are deciding how to deal with groups. Is it one group certification or what? So on? That's all. I'm just throwing this in. I'm just butting in.
My take on that would be it would be each individual within the group, of course. You know, absolutely. I mean, we're going on the assumption that everybody is on the honor system, too. You know, they'll show up and they'll be a part of it. And also, just to clarify, we are not offering certification. We are offering a credential sheet that you can then turn in to get your CEUs or your CEs or whatever.
I misunderstood what
you said.
Just to
be clear.
I know what that is. No, I know what that is. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janice.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I sure can. Yeah.
This is Debbie. When I didn't actually get the exact when it's going to start. I mean, I know about the February 1st and 3rd, you know, conference thing.
That's
the free
one. I didn't mention it.
Well, I
forgot to mention when the course starts.
Yeah.
February 10th.
February 10th. And so is it weekly?
Yes.
Is it once
That's
a
another
week?
Detail that would be good for everybody to have known. But, you know, there's some things that I didn't point out. Wednesday, February 10th, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Pacific is session one, and that's Nurturing Strong Roots for Systemic Change with Kay Pranis and Carolyn Bliss Watson.
So it would be 9 o'clock my time. 'Cause I'm
5 p.m. Pacific is the start time, yes. So that's 8 p.m.
Okay.
8 p.m. Eastern.
8. Oh, 5, 6, 7. Okay, 8
yeah.
p.m. Okay, and it's what, 90 minutes?
That's right. Yep.
90 minutes. Okay. All right, well, cool. I was just kind of wondering.
Well, that's
start,
a really good
and if
question.
It's weekly, so it's 9
it's
weeks,
weekly.
You said?
So here's the format. Every week through April 14th. And we may add a bonus session in. A bonus session meaning on one of those weeks, between February 10th and April 14th, we may offer an additional session.
Okay.
And all of these sessions will be recorded. And again, it starts on February 10th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Pacific is the closing time. And go ahead. Sorry.
So if it's recorded and we should happen to miss one or whatever, we can get on the Peace Alliance website and listen to it. Because I listen to some of the
You'll be getting recordings sent to you. Everybody that has signed up for the course is going to have them for their personal use. Absolutely.
Awesome.
And like I said earlier, if you think that there's something that you want to pass along to a school official or someone that you work with in your community that you think might like to have something along those lines from one of the sessions, then that's for you to decide.
Okay, great. Yeah, I work at a school, Mechanicsburg, at the K-12, and I did send a welcome and sent the information to my superintendent today in hopes that she would share it with the rest of the staff. I didn't want to do it on my own without her knowing, you know.
Right,
so,
of course.
But I did make that contact, and we'll probably talk with her about it tomorrow and see what she has to say. But, okay, well, that's great. I was kind of wondering when it started. And I haven't paid for it yet, but how do I go about paying for it? I mean, is there?
So we have a course page. I believe this is such a good question, actually. I believe it's linked to the summit page. Dan or Lori, have you tried, or anybody else on this call? Has anybody gone to the course page? I think Janice maybe has.
Right. If you go onto the Peace Alliance website and then you click on about the summit, and it, you can also get led to if you want to sign up for the course, and it gives all of that information. And then you have the option of choosing your the amount you will pay and your payment method, and it all is very quick and easy online.
Okay, so it's on the Peace Alliance website. All right, cool. All right.
And I also am looking at the form. It's a web form. And there's the $199 regular rate, $149 discount rate, a $99 discount rate, and then there's other, which is a pre-approved. And so I can imagine that it's possible that we'll either add a group rate or work with each group. And then your group would just check the box other and put in the amount. It's a blank box there.
Is that the one for the $50?
No, it's a blank box, the other. It says other. Yeah,
Molly, I think she was asking about the action team rate for that blank box.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was,
right,
that
exactly.
Was blank box? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Sorry.
Okay. All right, just trying to figure out.
One other thing I was curious to know about for those of you who are still on that registration page for the course, not for the summit, is a very up-to-date outline of each week. It's called At a Glance Sketch of the Course Week by Week. It also has a beautiful photo board of the faculty guides. So I'm wondering if anybody feels like that would be useful to have, and we could just put together a quick PDF for you. So that you have an updated at-a-glance sketch of the course week by week. Because at this point, it's pretty much solid, except for there's a few more dances we need to do at the very end with Fania Davis and Jeffrey Weisberg, because he's going to be he's booked. But anyway, we're just wrapping up that last 2 weeks there, to make sure that each person has the date that works best for them.
Okay.
Yeah, but would that be helpful, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That would be helpful, so we knew what we were going to be talking about each week and have a little bit of, you know, insight to what it's going to be about.
And I know the materials that we've been distributing so far seem pretty in-depth about covering the points that would probably be very relatable to people within schools. But you know, if you feel like you're missing information or that you need more, contact Katrina or myself or any of us on the team. We'll make sure that you get what you need for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. I do have another question for Dan, though.
Okay.
Are you there, Dan?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm
well,
here.
I was wondering about putting this in the paper about the summit. Would that be a good idea? Because I could get public. I mean, I don't, and I have time. If I was to write it, you know, write it up, you know, send it out tomorrow to the paper, get in the Urbana paper and the Mechanicsburg paper, probably, well, by the end of the week for Urbana and by Wednesday, because the Mechanicsburg paper only runs once a week, it's Wednesday. So they'd have it by next Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a wonderful thing to do. I don't see why not. Molly, do you have any hesitation about that?
About putting it in the paper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah, the more we can share the opportunity for the summit and that people might want to consider if they're so moved coming to this course and you know, how amazing it's going to be. Great.
Well,
and even a personal experience that maybe you've seen, you know, of like one of the most popular articles I ever have written was about a police officer that was completely against restorative justice, and he did a complete 180 in his understanding about it when he had to arrest 10-year-old boys, and he saw their future laid out before.
Well, we have the Urbana, or I'll have some papers tomorrow to try to maybe catch on an article or something and then go into what's going on and basically take the thing that Dan sent for us to use, and which is what I sent to my superintendent, but I kind of modified it and told her, you know, I was sending it to her, but kind of take that and just kind of cut it to my, I think it's 200 words is the only thing I can use on that paper, but, you know, cut it down to that. So, cool. I'll work on that tomorrow. I'll try to get that out. I'll let Dan know.
And again, Debbie, if you or anybody else, I mean, I'm happy to work case by case. Like, if you need something, if I can't get it to you, I'm sure one of us can. And, my email is M-O-L-L-Y, Molly at peacealliance.org, and then Katrina at Peace Alliance.
Yeah, I got
you know how to
I
get
got
them
both written down. Yeah, got them both written down.
And cool. Please don't hesitate, cool. Really. I mean, we want to help you make sure you get what you need to get it out there.
Well, I'll like I do normally, I'll send it to Dan and Lori just to have them kind of look it over, make sure I'm hitting all the right things before I actually.
Yeah, I was talking
so,
more about like the other stuff, you know, the course info and all of that.
Oh, great, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.